Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus will return one day to put an end to the evil running amok on planet Earth. At that time, those who died in the faith, as well as living believers, will receive glorious new bodies. Sorrow and pain will be left behind. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer talks further about the future we anticipate, his final message on what we believe. Now, we'll learn more about how believers will make the jump from this world to the next.
So Paul says, I'm writing to you so that you don't grieve as those who have no hope. Grieve, but not hopelessly. And then he says that, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. When Jesus returns, he will be bringing the souls of all those who have died with him. The people today who die in Christ do not yet have their permanent bodies. Now, the soul takes on the characteristic of the body so that they can see and they can communicate and they can recognize one another. All of that happens, but they do not have their permanent bodies. But God is going to bring them with him when Jesus returns. Now, hang on to all of this. It's going to become very clear in a moment. And then he says, because we will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Paul is saying, those of us who are living, who are going to be translated, and when I use that word today, I'm not talking about a translation from one language into another. I'm speaking about a generation of people who will be living, who will not die. A generation of believers. They will instantly be translated and have their glorified body. So now let's put it in sequence. Paul is saying that when Jesus comes, he's going to bring with him those who have died, and we will not go ahead of those who have died. In fact, those who have died go first, and then we follow after. So don't think for a moment that your loved one who has died is going to miss out on anything. In fact, they are going to be raised, their bodies will be raised and joined to their spirits, and that will happen first. And then we, who are alive unto the coming of the Lord, will be translated. The dead have no disadvantage at all. All that by way of introduction. What I'd like to do now is to walk through the sequence that the Apostle Paul gives regarding these events. And if anything that I said was unclear, I think that when I am finished, and as we walk through Paul's words, hopefully everything will be clear. That's my goal. Clarity is always my goal. I don't want to be like a politician who left a political rally in Chicago the other day and whispered to one of his aides, I hope that in the excitement I didn't happen to make myself clear about anything. Well, I want to be clear. Let's begin. Look at the sequence. He says, verse 16, and here we begin now. He says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command. Step number one, the Lord descends. And now it is described with a shout, with a cry of command. And the command is that the dead in Christ be raised. Sometimes we used to say as children, you know, you're making so much noise, you'll probably raise the dead. Well, do I need to tell you that no matter how much noise we made, the dead remained dead? But when Jesus comes with that shout of command, he himself said, all who are in the grave shall hear his voice, and some shall come forth unto the resurrection of life, and some shall come forth unto the resurrection of damnation. When Jesus speaks, the dead are raised. Wow. He comes with a shout of command. The best illustration is Lazarus. Jesus is at the tomb of Lazarus, and the Bible says he cries with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Someone has said it is good that he named him, because if he hadn't have named him, all the dead in Bethany would have arisen. When Jesus speaks, the dead are raised. So he comes with the shout of command and with the voice of the archangel. Who's the archangel? Gabriel. He's the only one referred to in the New Testament and in the Old Testament as the archangel. So Gabriel comes along and he is shouting as well. And I have no doubt that the whole host of angels are there, because everything that Jesus did was accompanied by angels. That's why we have so many angel stories at the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. The angels are coming too. The angels who told the shepherds that they should go to Bethlehem and gave glory to God, all of those angels, no question in my mind, are coming with Jesus, who gives the shout of command and the trumpet. Trumpets were used to cause Israel to march. It's time for us to move on. The trumpet sounds. And when the trumpet sounds, what happens? But the dead now know it is time to move on. You've been dead long enough. Your body has disintegrated. It's time for God to recreate it and to put it together. Come, and the dead are raised. That's step number one. Step number one, the Lord descends with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Secondly, the dead in Christ rise first. The dead in Christ rise. That phrase, in Christ, is a technical term that refers to the church. Nowhere in the Old Testament do you find that those who died, died in Christ. It was the church that was formed at Pentecost. So this is Jesus Christ coming for his church. The dead in Christ. And they arise. The Old Testament saints will arise, but that will be at the second part of the return of Jesus, when he comes in glory, and the dead of the Old Testament will rise so that they can go into the kingdom, and they too to be with Jesus and to be along with the rest of us. So the scripture says the dead in Christ rise, and it's only the resurrection of the body. Their souls, as I mentioned, are already in heaven. There is a joining of the soul and the permanent body. And what a wonderful body it is going to be. No more cancer, no more expressways, no more hassle, no more weaknesses, no more sleep. You want to know what it's like? It's like the resurrection body of Jesus. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that wonderful? I think that this miracle is going to be more wonderful than creation itself. The dead in Christ then rise first. Step number three, we who are living, if it happens during our lifetime, we who are living are then translated. I'm now also again in verse 17. Then we who are alive, who are left, we will be caught up together, and that's the word rapture, together with them in the clouds. So the living will be translated. The Apostle Paul taught that there was going to be a whole generation of Christians who would not experience death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible." But there's a whole generation that is going to be translated in the twinkling of an eye. How long does it take for your eye to twinkle? How long does it take when you blink your eyes? They tell us 1/50th of a second. Boom! It's just suddenly happened. It's all a done deal. Twinkling of an eye, the last trump. And notice that the Bible says that Jesus will come with the clouds. That's true both of his first coming, the first stage of his coming, as well as the second. Clouds always accompany him. And it may well be that in this instance, the clouds so engulf the world that when Jesus comes to take out all of those who are in Christ, that there is a disappearance, and the world experiences the disappearance, but they have a naturalistic explanation of some phenomenon, and they may link it with the clouds that may hide from the rest of the world what God is doing. And so Jesus comes. So that's step number three. The living are translated, and then they get their heavenly bodies. Number four, we meet the Lord in the air. The word meeting is kind of a technical term, too. It's used, for example, in the book of Acts, where there was a delegation that came out from Rome to meet Paul. I don't want to stretch the point too much, but think about this. All of the dead who died in Christ, who are now raised, they have their glorified bodies. The living who are alive when this happens, they are translated and given their glorified bodies. So together, both groups now, fully in their eternal bodies, are in effect a delegation to meet Jesus. And we're saying, O King Jesus, thank you so much for returning. Glory to God. And here we are to greet you. Mind you, he raised us and saved us so that we'd have the ability to do that. But isn't that going to be an exciting prospect to meet the Lord in the air? And so we meet the Lord in the air together. Imagine that for a moment. Now, there's no evidence that Jesus Christ comes all the way to earth this time. He certainly will come in the second stage of his return. And we are then with Jesus Christ, and that's actually the last phase. We are eternally with the Lord. So shall we always be with the Lord. We'll be with the Lord during the great tribulation. We'll be with the Lord when he returns with his saints to establish the kingdom. We'll be with the Lord and we will reign with him during the coming kingdom. And then when the kingdom is swallowed up in eternity, what does the Bible say in the book of Revelation? Their name shall be on his forehead, and there shall be no night there. They need no light of the sun, neither of the moon to shine upon them. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign with him forever and ever. The Lord will be with him forever.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I've ended today with a message of great hope. We are going to be with the Lord forever. And forever is a very long time. You know, rather than us simply talking about it, I hope that you take out some time today and actually contemplate it. Visualize us being with the Lord. Visualize the rapture taking place and all of us as a delegation going to meet King Jesus. It's going to happen. And I hope that you and I will be ready when he returns, because we don't know when. God bless you. See you right here next time.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Future We Anticipate, the final message in a 10-part series on What We Believe. Join us next time for the climactic conclusion to our series on What We Believe. Erwin Lutzer's book, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.